Two dudes and a cage. We are back. This time we got a predictions and analysis for UFC 300. Man, it is a star-studded affair with crazy accolades. We got former champs. We got bonus winners. We got people that have won like 10 bonus. There's like just between four guys in the main event, there's like $1 million in bonuses given out. This is going to be an absolutely amazing card. The whole card is stacked. We're going to do the whole card. But before that, hey, this episode of Two Dudes in a Cage, hey, we're going to brought to you by Silverback Spray. Hey, it's a sponsor of mine. Ended up becoming a sponsor of mine because I use their product. I absolutely love this stuff. It uses silver to help negate smells, you know, with gym clothes and training and all your gear. The stuff just sweats and smells. I spray it on there. Plus, I got these balls I put in my laundry dryer. It takes away the smell. I love using the stuff. You should check it out. All right. What do we got first?
All right, the first fight on the early prelim on ESPN or ESPN Plus is Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. You know, Cody's on a two-fight win streak. He most recently came off of a KO victory against Brian Kelleher back in December. Davison Figueiredo is coming off of a unanimous decision win over Rob Font in his bantamweight debut. Now, I say bantamweight debut loosely. He fought bantamweight before, but he's known in the UFC as a flyweight. So this is UFC bantamweight debut. With Cody, he has very good wrestling, but he barely relies on it. And Figueiredo is a black belt in BJJ. So I don't see it going to the ground because of that. What I do see is Davison with power, especially going up, he's going to have a little more power. I think it's going to be a striking match. Cody's probably the bigger fighter, just in a sense of natural weight. And unfortunately, I can't pick him with his chin. He's known to get hit. He's known to have that glass jaw. I just think that Figueiredo will be able to catch him, and Figueiredo is gonna, he's the favorite, the God of War. I think he's gonna get his hand raised via KO.
Nice. Yeah, I know, man. It's so suspect with Cody's chin, and it makes you like so hard to pick him to win a fight, man. Davison Figueiredo, 9 KOs, 8 subs, BJJ black belt, 2-time flyweight champ. He's moving to bantamweight. You said that. He's strong wrestling. He's got strong power shots. He's a wide stance. He's got a long jab. He's got great timing. He stands his ground and he doesn't back up. Cody, man, he's got 11 KOs. He was NCAA Division II wrestler. He's the former bantamweight champ. He was a 2-time state high school wrestling champ. He's known as a knockout artist, though. Like you said, it doesn't really use his wrestling. He's fast and powerful. He stays in the pocket and swings. He keeps his offense basic, but it's more effective. But he doesn't have a lot of defense, and he leaves himself open when he swings. So I really want to pick Cody because he's on a 2-fight win streak and he's looking good. Some people call Brian Kelleher lower level competition. I don't think he's like top tier UFC competition, but I wouldn't necessarily call him low level competition because he's been in the game for a long time. But I think the way Cody fights, compared to the way Davison fights, I don't think it's a good matchup for Cody because Cody's going to be overly aggressive, and I think Davison is going to catch him. I want Cody to win this fight, but I wouldn't bet on it and put money on it.
Yeah, don't. If you're trying to look for money, I would not bet on this fight because the money
Right.
would be to put on Cody, and I don't see it either.
Yeah. And you never know. He could get lucky. I mean, I hope he does come back. I hope we do see him like return to his glory. Honestly, but we'll see. And the next fight, man, another great matchup, dude. Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. I think these two have really similar styles. They've been in the game for a long time, been in the UFC for a long time. Bobby Green's got 11 KOs, 9 subs, BJJ purple belt. He was king of the cage, multiple division champion. He's got tons of bonuses. Been in the UFC since 2013. He's a counter puncher, kind of keeps a low guard to bait people in and throws from his hip to counter, and it catches people off guard. I did see some articles that claimed he is a black belt. So I'm unsure about that and wondering what the deal is with that. But I'm unsure. But I think he is a BJJ purple belt. Jim Miller, 7 KOs. 20 subs, 20. BJJ black belt, NCAA Division I wrestler, RF, CFFC, USKBA, ROC champs. So he was a champion in five different leagues. Been in the UFC since 2008. Tons of bonuses as well. He's really well-rounded. He's got dynamic striking and grappling. Usually wins by subs. He's a true martial artist that doesn't trash talk. And he's got great cardio that he really utilizes to push the pace. I think this is a great matchup. I expect fireworks. I think this is going to be a fast-paced fight. And I think Bobby Green's going to win this one.
Oh,
Yeah.
all right. I think this fight is a fans fight, definitely.
Yeah.
King Bobby Green versus Jim Miller, just perfect. Jim Miller is the only UFC fighter to fight in UFC 100, UFC 200, and now UFC 300. He is 2-0. He won UFC 100. And he won UFC 200,
Whoa.
so could he go 3-0?
Okay.
I do have Bobby Green as a purple belt in BJJ. Obviously,
Cool.
Jim Miller is known for his submission wrestling, grappling, wrestling. He is a black belt. I don't see this fight as a stand-up. I think Jim Miller is going to do whatever he can to get it on the ground, and I got Jim Miller in this one. I think he's going to get a submission win.
You know, I think if he can take Bobby down and keep him on the ground, he should get the win. Yeah, I think he might have a hard time doing so though. But if he can get him down and keep him there and then look for submissions and just utilize control time, he probably will win the fight, honestly.
Yeah. Take it back. I don't think submission. I think. If Jim Miller wins, I think it'll be a decision and it'll be one of those grinded out fights. It's going to be technical when it's on the ground, but he has good striking to mix with his double leg takedown. And Bobby Green has fought tougher competition than Jim Miller, so there's always that too. This is a fun one. I'm excited for this fight.
Yeah. I mean, this whole card is just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next fight. Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. Marina Rodriguez is a Muay Thai and a BJJ specialist. She is facing Andrade, who is a BJJ black belt. Andrade is mostly known in the UFC just for her pure strength and raw power, especially in the women's division. Andrade does average 2.5 takedowns a fight, and she's about 54% accurate on her takedowns, so that's good for her. Marina, though, she is 66% and her takedown defense. So that's going to be interesting key in this one. I think if Andrade can use her strength and power to get her down, it'll be a little bit easier to fight for. Marina is a better striker. She uses her range and her distance very well. On paper, just like the oddsmakers, this fight is neck and neck. It could go either way. Flip a coin and that's who's going to win, you know? But I think with the strength and the power advantage, I think Jessica gets this done.
Nice. Yeah, man, Jessica Andrade has some crazy accolades. She's got 10 KOs, 8 subs, BJJ black belt. She's the former strawweight and flyweight champ. She's got tons of bonuses. She's been in the UFC for 10 years. She's got the most women finishes and the most knockout for women strawweight. She's got the most women bonuses in the UFC. Like you said, she's known for her strength and excellent conditioning. She's got great boxing, wide hooks and overhands. She does tend to charge forward, which makes her easy to counter. She does use the good use of body shots and an inside low kick. Marina, 7 KOs, 1 sub, BJJ purple belt. She's got the Muay Thai in her pocket too. She just got raw strength. She's just physically imposing and she's well-rounded. She's doing really good in the UFC. This fight is a pick'em fight. I just don't think that her strength and being physically imposing is going to be enough for Jessica Andrade. And the only way Marina is going to get lucky is if she wins this fight by countering Jessica when she comes in. If she's a little too untechnical, but I'm going with Jessica to win this one as well.
Good choice.
Yeah. Up next, we got Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano. Jalen's 10 KOs, 4 subs, BJJ brown belt. He got his nickname because he was scared of spiders. And he's got a pet tarantula, something along those lines. I think that's kind of cool. Man, he's got great agility and striking skills. He moves forward and he's got a traditional Muay Thai style. Get into more what that means a little bit later with some other fighters. Renato, he's got 10 subs, BJJ black belt, judo. He's got good fight IQ. He moves in and out. He's got good range, good clinch work. He's got great kicks. He's really versatile. Renato's kind of been on a bit of a tough streak lately, and I unfortunately think that's going to continue for him as I see Jalen winning this fight.
Ooh. All right. I don't think this fight is talked about enough. These fighters are high level, but they're still not like in title contention yet. They're still prospects. Renato is a BJJ fighter who he starts to gain steam and he's starting to show his skills, but he's had a little rough patch. He's most notably known for taking a fight against RDA on 2.5 week notice. He's a very skilled grappler, but his stand-up needs a little work, and fighting Jalen Turner, it's not the best matchup. Jalen Turner is a flashy striker, but with his flashy striking, he has good defensive wrestling. He's 75% takedown defense and he's 55% on his takedowns. He only uses takedowns if he's struggling on the feet, which with a 5-inch reach advantage in this fight, I don't see that happening. Jalen Turner looks for the finish. He has three fights that have gone to decision and he's lost all three of those. So if it goes to decision, Jalen Turner might not win, but he has finished every fight he has won, and I think this is going to be another one. I don't think it's going to go the full 15 minutes. I think Jalen Turner will catch Renato and get the victory.
Nice.
Let's go, Turner. All right, that was the last fight for the early prelims. Now we're going to go ahead and kick it off for the prelim Also, could be watched on ESPN or ESPN Plus. This fight is Sadiq Yusuf versus Diego Lopez. I'm pretty sure Diego Lopez is either a training partner or the BJJ coach for Alexa Grasso.
Yeah.
May have heard of her. But this is a tough matchup for Yusuf. Like I said, Diego Lopez is the BJJ, again, training partner or coach. I couldn't find it, but I remember he was mentioned in one of her fights. He is a black belt.
Yeah, he's in her corner and everything, too.
Yeah.
When she fights.
Yep. And he's highly touted as, you know, the next big thing in the featherweight division. He has really good striking that he mixes well with his grappling. And Yusuf is only a blue belt in BJJ. I think that right there is going to be the key in the fight. Lopez, as a black belt, I think he's going to do what he can to get it down to the ground. And he's just going to work his way into a submission. I think this fight will be heavy in the grappling game plan. And I think it'll overwhelm Yusuf. Yusuf might not get finished, but I think it's going to be a very unanimous decision for Diego Lopez.
Nice. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Diego's going to win this fight for sure. Sadiq Yusuf, 6 KOs, once a BJJ blue belt. He's Nigerian. He comes from a polygamous family. His dad's got 4 wives. He's got like 16 brothers and sisters. He's kind of touted as a rising star for some reason. He's got striking power, explosive striking power. He's very technical, well-rounded, versatile, and resilient. I'm just not sure that's going to be enough for him. Diego Lopez has 9 KOs, 12 subs, BJJ black belt. He's got bonuses in all 3 of his UFC fights. He fought for the Fury FC title, which I'm signed to Fury FC right now. He was the Lux and the XFL champ. He debuted against a ranked opponent. He's got a heavy BJJ game. He's all action. He changes submissions. And he seems comfortable anywhere the fight takes him. I definitely think the same. He's going to look to get the fight to the ground and look for a submission. I'm going with Diego all the way in this fight, all day. Ooh, this next fight, my future wife, she just doesn't know it yet, Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison. I love Holly Holm, by the way. Absolutely love Holly Holm. I wish I could meet her and ask her to marry me. I probably would. Anyway, 8 KOs, former bantamweight and featherweight champ. She's a pro boxer and a pro kickboxer. She's got great boxing that she utilizes to set up her kicks. She's precise, technical, powerful. She's got good footwork and head movement. Kayla Harrison, 6 KOs, 2 subs, judo black belt. She's the 3-time PFL champ, where she won $1 million each time. She's a 2012-2016 Olympic gold medalist. She uses her strikes to set up her takedown. This is the classic striker versus grappler matchup. They're both southpaws. Kayla is the favorite because, you know, grapplers usually beat strikers. But I'm sorry, I can't go against Holly. Holly, you're going to win this fight. I believe in you.
All right. We may disagree. Let's find out. Holly Holm is a great test for Kayla Harrison coming into the UFC. Like you said, she is a striker. And Kayla Harrison is a judo Olympian. Fun fact. The last judo Olympian that fought Holly Holm couldn't eat an apple for 6 months.
Ronda Rousey?
Yes, Ronda Rousey. Holly is 42. So she is a little older. She's maintained herself as a top-tier bantamweight and featherweight, despite her age. And she has adjusted her game plan to help with, getting older, you get a little bit slower. She's still able to maintain her striking and her ability, as well as having good takedown defense. Kayla, if she can make 135, like she hasn't fought in a year, so she's had a year to go down, but she's dropping 20 pounds. She normally fights at 155. She's dropping to 135. So that's going to be an interesting thing. She does have a chance to run for a title. I think this fight is not a title eliminator for Kayla, but I think if Kayla wins, she'll get one more and then fight for the title. Kayla still has improvements on her striking, and I think that is going to be the difference in this fight. If Kayla can get Holly down, Kayla wins via decision.
Yeah.
If Holly can keep it up on the feet, I think Holly gets the win via decision. Since it is a prediction analysis, I am going to go opposite. I have Kayla winning by decision.
Nice.
I think she'll be able to get her down. Holly is a little older, and so I think that's going to be the disadvantage in this fight.
Talk about my wife like that.
I am so sorry. But this next fight, I am not
Yeah.
sorry. We got Calvin Kattar versus Aljamain Sterling. Aljo recently lost to Sugar Sean O'Malley, and he decided to go up into featherweight. So he's making his featherweight debut at UFC 300. What a way to debut! He's not going to have to cut much weight, so that's an advantage. My concern for him is, can he manage his cardio? He did have a few fights at bantamweight where his cardio, he looked drained and the middle of the fight. Now that could be because the weight cut was very hard for him. Calvin Kattar is a perfect matchup for Aljo at featherweight. He's on a two-fight losing streak, and this is his first fight since October of 2022 because he had a knee injury.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fun fact. That he lost his last fight due to that knee injury. So,
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that. Yeah, thanks
I
for pointing
got
that
you.
out.
Kattar has had trouble against wrestlers, although he has a 92% takedown defense. Chain wrestlers give Calvin a little bit of an issue. And I think that's where Aljo's going to shine. Again, this one is also a pick 'em, minus 112 and minus 108. So you're still paying the juice no matter what. But I do have Aljo getting the victory via decision.
Nice. Man, Calvin Kattar, 11 KOs, two subs. He's only a BJJ blue belt. Huh. I'm a BJJ blue belt. Five time fight of the night bonuses. That's pretty good. He was a high school wrestler. He's a heavy-handed boxer. Man, I think he's got a perfect jab. Like, we could spend a whole podcast breaking down how great his jab is. Like, everything he does about his jab is just so amazing, from the way he brings it back to guards. Some people try to counter off the jab, but the way he brings it back, and he blocks those counters. He's just amazing jab. He mixes it up really well. He uses his feints. Aljamain Sterling, three KOs, eight subs, BJJ black belt, NCAA Division III wrestler, former bantamweight champ, CFFC, Ring of Combat former champion. He's kind of got an unorthodox wrestling style. chain wrestles, he high volumes, he jabs from both stances, throws a lot of kicks, but he doesn't set up them well. Usually you set up your kicks with a punch. He usually kicks, then punches. He usually utilizes a lot of high control time. He's got a high pace. I think he has a decent gas tank. He grabs kicks and takes you down. He does tend to shoot from really far away though. But like you said, he chains it a single leg to double leg, and then once he gets you down, he looks to take you back and ride the backpack and rear naked choke you. He loves to do that. I too am going with Aljamain Sterling. I definitely think he's going to win this one. I think Kelvin's going to have a hard time with him for sure.
I do want to mention the cardio, because I did say cardio management. I am referencing the first Petr Yan fight. I
Okay.
know it was his first title shot, and with adrenaline, he could have had an adrenaline dump walking out, but in the second, middle of the second, third round, he looked gas. He still won, even though, like, can't take that away from him, but he looked gas, and that's what worries me going up in weight. Is he going to have an adrenaline dump, or is he going to be able to manage?
I like it. It's definitely a it definitely plays into it, and it's definitely something to think about for sure.
Don't come at me in the comments.
We'll just block you if you do. Not really. We don't care. Oh, I do it every time. Every. All right. Up next, we got Jiří Prochazka.
Prochazka?
Not Prochazka. Thank you. Versus Alexander Rakic. Jiří's got 25 KOs, three subs. He's the former light heavyweight champ. He's definitely got a Muay Thai style, where he's got great head movement. He's got agile footwork. He lands like from crazy angles and weird positions. I've seen him land some strikes from some crazy positions. I love it. Love watching him fight. Alexander's got nine KOs, one sub, BJJ brown belt. He had his first fight when he was 14. He's definitely a knockout artist. He's got a European Thai style. He uses his low kicks for distance and not many jabs. He feints and low kicks instead. Kind of helps get your range and timing that way. He leads with his right, follows with the left hook. He shifts with his power punches. His defense can be lacking at times. He doesn't really move his head that well. He rarely uses his subs, and he kind of just uses takedowns to get top position. He is the favorite in this fight. A lot of people do think he's gonna win, but for some reason, I'm just feeling Jiří. I'm feeling Jiří to win this fight. I for some reason I think Jiří's gonna win. I don't know why. I just think he is. It's hard to kind of put into words.
I'll tell you why. But first, can we take a minute and state how
Stop!
we're getting three main cards on this UFC 300 card? Like, the early prelims could be
My
a
bad.
fight night in its own. The prelims could be a fight night in its own. We got Jiří versus Rakic. Rakic is coming back off of a knee injury that he suffered in May of 2022. So I think that is going to be a little issue for him. And you're coming back. I know he was at number four or five when he left. So he's coming back fighting Jiří, who I believe is number two in the light heavyweight rankings. Jiří is the former champion, and I think the winner of this fight will get the next title shot. This is a limit title eliminator. Rakic, he is the striker who does stay at range. Like you said, he uses his low kicks instead of a jab to find that range. One thing with that is in May, when he injured his knee a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, it was off of a low kick. Threw a low kick, came back, twisted his knee, and that's what caused the loss. Jiří is a flashy striker who uses Muay Thai, but has very flashy movement to kind of distract you when he throws. And I think that is a secret skill. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't read. Jiří is a black belt in BJJ. I believe I read that. And it's a secret skill he doesn't use. So there's that. He used his BJJ to win the light heavyweight title against Glover Teixeira that nobody seen coming when he submitted him. And that was the fifth round. So Jiří's good striking. He was doing really good against Pereira until he got caught with the elbow. I don't know if this is going to go 15 minutes. I think it's going to be just a slugfest. They're
Don't
going to
think so.
exchange. Rakic has really good head kicks. Jiří's got really good head movement. I think Jiří is going to have the advantage, and Jiří's going to get the victory via
Sweet.
TKO.
For this fight to go the distance, I would definitely bet on it not going the distance.
Yeah, take
I would
that.
put money on that. Seriously, I
You think
would.
over under 2.5 rounds is usually,
Yeah.
well, this is a 3-round fight, so it'd be over under 1.5. I would take the under.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
I
think
like
it's
it.
going into the third round at all.
Yeah. I would. That's a good bet right there.
You ready for the next one? We are
Yeah.
now on
The main.
to the main card. And a lot of people still complain about this man being untested and on the main card. And I'm going to tell you right now, Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage will not go out of the first round. Bo
Hell.
Nickel will be fed Cody
Bet on
Brundage.
that. Bet on that too.
Yeah, take that bet. Bo Nickel is a minus 1,350 favorite. Cody Brundage is a plus 800.
Sorry.
The difference, Bo Nickel reminds me of Ben Askren. Like, we know he's going to wrestle, but Bo Nickel doesn't telegraph his wrestling like Ben Askren did. Ben Askren just head down, and where Bo Nickel, he'll come at you and he'll look like he's about to strike. Then, he covers it, does really good hiding his takedowns, and he's got such great wrestling pedigree that it's a chain wrestling. He's not going to go after one takedown and just give up. And he can transition where he'll go for a high-waisted double leg, and then he'll go down or he'll go up for a trip. So he mixes his wrestling in very well. And I just think Cody Brundage is just another great prospect, but he's being fed Bo Nickel. Bo Nickel's going to get the victory. It's going to be another stoppage. And after this, they have to give Bo Nickel at least someone in the top 10. Give him a tough challenge. I know it seems like they're waiting for the middleweight to figure itself out with Izzy and DDP and Strickland, but give him someone. Give him another wrestler. That'd be a good challenge for him. He'll still win, but it'll be a good challenge. He wants Khamzat. Give him Khamzat.
That'd be a good fight.
That would be a good fight. But Bo Nickel, victory, UFC 300.
Yeah, man. Bo Nickel is, yeah, two KOs, three subs, BJJ blue belt, NCAA division wrestler. He's got three division one wrestling titles. He's a huge upcoming star. amazing wrestling. His wrestling is so good that it scares people. He just has to fake a takedown and then come in with a shot, and he can knock you out because people are so intimidated by his wrestling, hence the two KOs. Cody Brundage, 5 KOs, 3 subs, BJJ blue belt as well. Good takedown defense, but I don't think it's going to be enough for Bo. He does have a strong right hand, a good blast double. He jumps the guillotine really well. He does tend to get out grappled. I think this is a bad matchup for Cody. He gets out grappled very easily. He does have good takedown defense, but when he gets down, he just kind of settles in. And some people say he almost just gives up when somebody gets in a more dominant position than him. Cody is saying a lot of things. There's a ton of articles about how he's confident and he's gonna make it look easy. And but don't mistake that it's not an easy fight. It's definitely a tough fight, but he's gonna make it look easy. So he's like super confident, almost to the point where I would call it overconfident and cocky, because I really don't think he's gonna win this fight. I just he's like, oh, he's Bo Nickel's cardio's never been tested. He's never been hit in the face by someone like me. Just things along that line. I don't think we have to worry about Bo Nickel's cardio one bit. Everybody reacts different to getting punched in the face really hard. It's not for everybody. But I just don't see Cody winning this fight at all. And he's just overly confident, and I think that's going to be his hugest mistake. Bo Nickel as well. He's way too big of a favorite to bet on, though. -1300 would just really mess up a parlay. So
Oh
I would
yeah.
just, enjoy the.
Unless you're gonna do like a whole card parlay, betting Bo Nickel is gonna cut you down at least.
Right.
It would basically take a four teamer into a two teamer.
It would set you back.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it would
yeah.
cut you in half at minimum.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see this fight. I'm not sure he should get a top 10. I think that's a little fast, but he definitely should get somebody like ranked in the top 20 or something. It seems like maybe they're trying to build him. He doesn't have a whole lot of MMA fights. So I think maybe that's why they're just trying to get him more fights under his belt, to before you start, fighting ranked UFC opponents, talking title contention. When you've only had 3 or 4 MMA fights total, isn't really realistic. So I think maybe they're just trying to get some fights built up for him.
He's kind of like the middleweight Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, like for real.
Yeah,
Like,
it's crazy.
yeah. I definitely see him as a future champion if he sticks with it and keep going the way he is. I think Bo can go a long ways.
It would be a good matchup, him versus Khamzat, though.
Yeah, I would like to see that, honestly. That would be dope.
Do that fight and then. But if you do that fight, then if Bo wins, it's off to the races. There,
Yeah.
you can't put him against a top 15 guy now after.
Right. After beating Khamzat, he'd have to, because Khamzat's really close to title contention himself.
Yeah.
So a win over him would skyrocket. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, next fight. Fan favorite. Charles Oliveira versus Armand Takhsarian. Whatever. I'm bad.
Sarukian?
Yes, thank you. I'm
I
bad with
got you.
names. Man. Charles Oliveira's got 10 KOs, 21 subs, BJJ black belt. He's the former lightweight champ, UFC record for most finishes, tons of bonuses as well. He's got aggressive kickboxing. He uses it to pressure you. He's really well-rounded. He plays possum. At times, it looks like he falls on purpose. He uses his kicks to fire. To feel it, to find his range, not jabs. He's got great clinch work. He wraps up your neck. He loves to choke people out. Instead of like sprawling for takedown defense, he'll like usually grab your neck and threat a submission, and it works out a lot that people will give up on takedowns just because of the threat of that submission, because he's finished so many by chokes. Armin, 9 KOs, 5 subs. It's definitely wrestling based. He's got a few bonuses as well. He's got impressive striking. He's got a good cardio. He shoots a double leg from his left hook. He's really strong and quick. He counters really well, and he walks you down. Armin is definitely the favorite in this fight, but I'm going with Charles Oliveira. He's just I don't know, man. There's just something different about Charles Oliveira. He'll take the fight anywhere. He's comfortable anywhere. He's not afraid to strike. He's not known for being a heavy-handed striker, but he's like finished people by strikes that you wouldn't expect to have expected him to. And then if you take him down, or if he gets knocked down, people have knocked him down, then jumped into his guard and got finished. So you just never know with Charles Oliveira. So that's why I'm going with him.
This one is a tough one to predict.
Yeah.
So, Armin, his UFC debut was against a guy named Islam Makhachev. Lost via decision. So, they have that in common. They have both lost to Islam. Armin is similar to Islam in the sense that he's not going to be afraid to chase Charles Oliveira into the guard. I think Armin's going to catch him with the jab, and I think Charles will play possum where he'll fall and then like open up his guard like he did to Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, all of them. And I think Armin would go into it. He's not afraid of He knows his grappling is good. It's definitely not Oliveira's BJJ black belt good, but he's a submission wrestler. From Georgia, not Russia, but he wrestles like Habib with the Sambo wrestling. He's relentless. He has a fast pace, presses forward the whole fight. Charles will be able to counter on that. And Charles is at his best when he counters. And that's when he gets most of his knockouts are on counter strikes, like against Tony Ferguson. I think if Armin falls into the striking trap, he could get caught by pressing forward with his hands down. He's gonna try for a lot of takedowns, and he might leave his neck open. I think Armin's gonna win. I think this is a great test for him, and I believe this one is a title contention fight as well. So I believe winner gets the title shot.
Nice.
And I'm gonna go Armin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know I said a lot of things that Armin's gonna fall into, but I think that he'll put enough pressure on Charles where he'll be able to get him down and control it just enough to get a slight
Okay.
edge in a split decision.
I definitely can see him winning. It's not like unrealistic, and he's the favorite in the fight.
It's not
So
like Bo Nickel, Cody
yeah,
Brundage.
like right.
Like
You're
Cody
like
Brundage could win.
there's no way that's ever gonna happen,
Yeah, like Cody Brundage could win, but it's a puncher's chance on him. Where
Yeah, right.
Armin has. Oh, that's weird. He's Armenian, but he fights out of Georgia. Is that what it is? Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because UFC says country, Georgia, and then at the bottom it says Armenia. Georgia, Armenia,
Yeah.
they're close.
Right. Same thing. No, I don't know. I'm not even sure, honestly. So.
All right, next up is the first title fight of the evening. Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway. Now, Charles, you might be like, title fight? What title is that for? That is for the silver belt, the BMF, the
But
baddest motherfucker, which Justin Gaethje won without fighting the previous champion Jorge, but that's a whole nother thing we're not going to get into. Initially, I was not interested in this fight. I was like, Max is too small. He's coming up. Justin's the bigger fighter. Remember the last time Max went to 155 against Poirier? And then I started thinking and watching Max, like, oh, he has a very unique style where he pushes forward and he always raises the pace. And Justin Gaethje will get put on his back foot where he is not very comfortable. This fight has a potential to be like two Rams just clashing because they both push forward. Max is a better counter striker than Justin. Max is a little bit smaller, but he has given himself enough time before this fight to put on a little bit more weight. And not weight, muscle.
Yeah, right.
And I think he's still going to have his cardio, so this fight will be a full 25 minutes maximum of just pace. And if Max can check Gaethje's leg kicks, this fight is going to be awesome. There's gonna be blood. Gonna be some gnarly cuts. And I think I wouldn't be shocked if Justin wins. It's gonna be in the late fourth, like late fourth, fifth round. But I have to make a decision, and I made a decision. Max Holloway with the upset. Going and new BMF champ.
Let's go. Dude, I'm still having a tough time picking a winner of this fight. Like, I don't know. I'm so excited for this fight, actually. I'm really excited for this fight. I'm not gonna lie. Justin Gaethje, it's gonna just be absolute fireworks and crazy, crazy from start to finish. Justin's got 20 KOs, one sub, NCAA Division I wrestler. He was the interim lightweight champ. I think it was All-American, which just means you like placed in the top 10 or something like that. He's got tons of bonuses as well. He's the BMF champ. He rarely uses his wrestling though. He just loves to strike and he uses his distance well. He does use it really well though. You kind of talked on that. Max, 11 KOs, two subs, BJJ brown belt, former featherweight champ, tons of performance bonuses. He's known for great boxing. He can be a bit of a wild brawler though. At times, he's got a great jab. He shifts his stance. He utilizes body work. He draws you into a counter. He's got amazing defensive wrestling. When he gets taken down, he gets up really quick and he doesn't stay on his back. He just bounces back up right away. I love that. I'm really glad that you picked Max. Since you did, I'm picking Max as well. I really think Max is going to win this fight. Max can take a punch, man. He really can. You've seen him take a lot of damage in fights and still keep coming forward. So I think it is going to be hard for Gaethje to knock him out. And if he does, it could be in the later rounds. It's not going to be a first round one. I don't see that. I really don't. I mean, he could surprise us, but I really do think Max is going to win this fight. Like you said, it looks like he's putting on size and strength. He looks a little bit bigger. It looks like he took the move up more seriously.
He had
I
more
just
time too. When he fought Poirier, it was a short notice. It was to save the card. And
You're right. So that all plays into it for sure. Like he
one
didn't
thing
have
I
time to
like,
fully prepare.
Max came out in an interview and was like, everyone's saying I'm too small. Why are you putting limits on me? And that's what I was like, okay. I was one of
Yeah.
them. I mean, obviously, no one hears my opinion, but.
Right. But just Max is just a true warrior, man. He's
Oh,
a
yeah.
embodiment of, like, a modern day samurai, kind of like they say about Jiri. Yeah, he's a gladiator. Yeah.
And when he
Let's go,
lost to
Max.
Poirier, it was late fourth, fifth round. He didn't get knocked out. I believe it was, if I remember, it was a standing TKO. Like Herb Dean stepped in.
I think so, yeah. And I think he kind of was like, oh, what the hell? Like, I do think I remember something like that. He's like, come on, what are you doing? You know?
It was a good stoppage, but
Right.
it
But
wasn't
Max is
like
like,
he wasn't out of it. He
right.
was
He's like,
just
let me
taking
die in
too
that
much
motherfucker.
damage.
Max doesn't care. Ooh, sorry, what'd you say?
Oh, I was just saying, like, he was just taking too much damage. That's why
Oh.
it stopped it.
Yeah.
Main event, co-main event, you ready? This
Ooh.
one.
I'm so excited about this fight. I'm like off track. All right. Co-main event. We got another title fight. The women's strawweight championship. Two of the best Chinese athletes ever. Wei Li was the first Chinese champion. She's got 11 KOs, 8 subs, BJJ brown belt, strawweight champ. She's wrestling heavy. She's just as capable on her feet and striking, though. Yan's got 8 KOs, BJJ blue belt. She's got crisp striking. She's got great distance management and had long range strikes. This looks to be on paper a really good fight. These two are like some of the best women's martial artists out there. Yan is more up and coming and less well known than Wei Li, but I do think there's some amazing products that came out of China. I think this is going to be a good fight. I just see Wei Li winning this fight. I think she's going to retain her title. I'm just not sure Yan is going to be able to do enough. I definitely think she could win this fight. I just don't see it happening.
Fun fact, Wei Li is the first Chinese female champion. Yan was the first female Chinese fighter signed to the UFC.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, two firsts. Their stats are like mirrored. It's crazy how, not just on paper, but their fight styles, this matchup could go either way. Like, 5.94 significant strikes landed per minute for the champ, 5.55 for Yan. Significant strikes 51% to 44%, absorbed per minute 3.44, 3.56. They're just so close. Yan has 47% of her fights finished by KO, TKO. Wei Li's 46%. Like, their average
That's
fight time
cool.
is within a minute and a half. I mean, they're both very powerful strikers. Yan is a blue belt, and Wei Li is a brown belt in BJJ. I don't see it going to the ground. I think it's going to be just a boxing match, kickboxing, because they're going to strike with, they're going to throw kicks. Yan has a really nice head kick that she hides behind her jab very well. Wei Li has a beautiful spinning back fist that you don't see coming until it's too late. Ask Ioana. Hall of Famer, Ioana. She will be inducted in the Hall of Fame, I believe, in July.
She deserves it.
She does, yeah. But I too have Wei Li, and I think Wei Li, with the edge of striking and the edge of having power, I think she's going to get the finish.
Nice.
Two fights that are supposed to be five rounds that I don't think will go five rounds.
Yeah, probably not.
And I'm going to make a bold prediction right now before we get to the next fight. I don't think the next fight's going to make it either. Do you
Probably
know what
not.
fight I'm talking about?
The main event.
I'm talking about the main event. We got
Yeah.
Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill. My question is Jamal Hill fully recovered? In July, he tore his Achilles tendon, almost 9 months to the day from the fight. Aaron Rodgers didn't even come back with a tore tendon, and he throws a football. So I don't know. I'm worried.
Yeah.
Because if it's not fully recovered, his Jamal's movement's not going to be there. His movement is what makes him so dangerous. He's like Yuri. He's a very flashy striker that, look at my hand over here. I'm going to hit you over here. He's very quick, very in, very like quick in, quick out fighting style. Alex Pereira, what do we say about him? Probably one of the best kickboxers to join the UFC. He's one of the best rivalries with Izzy. Comes up and has a great matchup with Yuri for the title, wins it. He's built like an old oak tree. Hits like a 3-ton truck with his leg kicks. I think this fight's going to be entertaining in the under 3 rounds that it lasts. I think Alex Pereira is going to win. I think it's going to be Yuri versus Pereira as a rematch, but and still.
Yeah. I think this is a good main event. I know it kind of caught a lot of slack for being the UFC 300 main event. But I definitely think this is going to be a good fight. Alex Pereira's got 7 KOs, BJJ brown belt, trains with Glover Teixeira. He's a light heavyweight champ, former middleweight champ. He's the pro kickboxer. He touched on all that other stuff. Jamal Hill, 7 KOs, BJJ brown belt. He's got the bonuses. He's a southpaw. He's got an accurate left. He's got hard kicks and knees. He goes to the body. He's got really good clinch work. And he kind of touched on how he's like Jerry too. He lands from crazy different positions and angles as well. And he's more of like the flashy style fighter.
And a cool
Yeah,
kick too.
I'm also worried about that surgery, man. Like I just I could be remember like this could be incorrect, but I feel like it's like 9 months before you're even supposed to do anything on it, you know? So like he started training for this camp before it fully healed. So could that play into it? Maybe he healed quicker, not to be like that, but you know, them black jeans, they got them good strong jeans and they heal good, you know. Sorry. And not to be like I don't want to be sound racist or anything, but you know, they're superior athletes. Hopefully that doesn't come out wrong. Maybe I should just delete that part.
No, I we know what you mean. Like
Okay, thank you.
they're
Thank you. All right. But there is a huge concern there. Even fully healed, should this being a straight kickboxing striking match, I don't think Jamal can beat Alex. I definitely think that he can hang with him and can contend with him. I don't think he can beat him. I think the way for Jamal Hill to win would be to make it a full MMA fight. And he'd have to get the takedown and use that. But then again, Alex Pereira is getting better at his ground game. He's shown that in like the Yuri fight, and there was another fight where you're like, okay, he's got a ground game too, and he's getting better at it. So I'm still not even sure there if that's enough because they're both the same belt level. So you just never know. I definitely think it's a great main event. I don't think it should have got the slack it did for, you know, UFC 100 was so great. UFC 200 was so great. I think UFC 300 is great. This whole card is absolutely stacked. There's all these champions. I know I said this already, but there's like all the champions, all the bonuses. just it's going to be an absolutely amazing card from start to finish. I guarantee it. Guarantee it.
I think this is a better main event than UFC 200. I mean, I know John Jones ended up getting pulled out and Anderson Silva, stepped up, but we knew when it was Silva versus DC, we're like, oh, DC is just going to take him down and lay on top of him for 5 rounds, and that's exactly what
Right.
happened. Jamal Hill, he has 0% takedown accuracy, and but, another thing too is the Achilles. I don't see him with his Achilles. He's going to be a little hesitant, and you cannot be hesitant with Pereira. Now, Jamal has a similar counter striking ability that Izzy does, so there is that he could play possum and maybe catch him. But this is going to be a good fight. But I think Pereira will get his hand raised,
For sure.
and I think Jamal Hill, his next fight is going to be even better than his last.
Yeah.
And stop playing basketball.
Right? Yeah, don't do dumb shit. Yeah. So there you have it. There's our thoughts on UFC 300. We gave you our predictions. We gave you our analysis. We hope you comment. We hope you watch it with us. Matt, you got any final thoughts for us?
Like and subscribe.
Yes, do it. Hey, we're getting close to 3,000 subscribers, so we're definitely getting there. We hope you subscribe. We hope you comment. We're looking for more engagement from our subscribers, so please let us know your thoughts. And don't forget to check out that Silver Spray. I love that stuff. Two dudes in a cage.
We're out.